throughout this whole conference, and it's good to declare God's faithfulness because oftentimes, as Bishop just mentioned, we're not always faithful, right? So we sometimes slip, we stumble, we fall. We're men, we're flawed. But the good news is that before we messed up, God knew that we were going to mess up, and he still gave us the promise.
That's right.
And so he is faithful to give us the promise. And if he gives us the promise, watch this. As soon as he makes the promise, as far as he's concerned, is already done. And he knows when it's going to happen. We may not know when, right? So we kind of dealt with that last night. We dealt with belief. We dealt with faith. We dealt with grace. And we dealt with God. And we dealt with the fact that sometimes when God speaks to us, we believe. We know what he said. We believe. We know what we're standing in the gap for, what we're believing God for. We believe we have a glimpse of it. We believe that we kind of know what it looks like. But sometimes the what, although we may think we have a clear image of it, sometimes his what is better than our what. And so when the what shows up, it's better than what we expected, because we serve a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So sometimes the what is kind of clear, but not all the way clear. We think it's clear, maybe not clear. And then we really don't know when, right? Unless God tells us when. We have no idea when it's going to happen. We just know we got to keep believing God. And so we're standing in the gap and we're believing God. We don't know when. But it's going to happen. And as far as God's concerned, it's already done. So we've already received it in our heart. We just haven't seen it in our hands. And then we really don't know how, right? And we don't know how unless God tells us. And so, you know, and then we kind of, if we mess up, I know we do that. And maybe y'all don't do it. I know I do it. Sometimes I try to figure out how he's going to do it. And so then, you know, and you know, you look at such and such, you say, maybe God, hey, you might do it through that person, or you might do it through that person. And then you see him and you're just waiting for something to happen, you know, and you're talking to them and then okay, see you later. And you're like, oh, okay, I guess that wasn't the person. Wow, because I'm trying to figure out how, you know, and so now you're trying to figure out how, and maybe unless God tells you, you don't know how. But you may not know how, and you may not know when, and you know you may not know what, and maybe you think you know what, but at the end of the day, you gotta know who, right? So your what can waver, maybe that's not clear, maybe the how's not clear, maybe the when's not clear, but your who better be clear. And you got to know in whom you believe. If you don't have anything else, you got to have the who clear. So you got to know in whom your faith is established and rooted. And you got to trust in him. You got to believe in him. What? It's kind of like this, you know, why? Because he's our daddy. We're going to learn this morning that he's trustworthy. You ever imagine this, Pastor Robinson? Imagine if, you have girls, so I'll deal with your girls, right? So, because, you know, the Marines, that's how they do. You know what I'm saying? I had to throw that in there. But, Pastor Robinson, imagine if one of your girls was out there cutting the grass, right? And so they're cutting the grass, and another little girl walks by and says, what are you doing? And she said, well, I'm cutting the grass. Why are you doing that? Because my dad said he's going to give me $20, right? And so you say, baby, if you cut the grass, I'm going to give you $20. Now, because you love your kids, right? Remember the what? Maybe you don't know what the what looks like, and sometimes his what is better than our what. You told him $20, you might give her $30 just because you love her, right? Because that's how God does us. And if you could do that, God does that even more, right? But let's say, for example, that you overheard, right? She didn't know you was outside, and she was talking to somebody and said, you know, oh, yeah, my dad... Is your dad, but you, do you, girl, do you really believe he's going to pay you? And what if she said, well, not, I'm not really sure, because you just never know what my dad is going to do. How would that make you feel as a father? Terrible, right? Because now she doesn't have any trust in you. She doesn't have any confidence in you, and her wavering, her unclarity came as a result of her relationship with you. And it came as a result of your track record, right? So obviously you must have said something to her and then not follow through. Obviously you must have promised something and then not brought it to pass. I'm just using you as an example. That's not true, y'all. He's trustworthy. But because of the relationship and because of the history and because of the track record, now she says, well, you just never know, right? So your trust in somebody, in anybody, my trust in Bishop Peoples is based upon my relationship with Bishop Peoples and my knowledge of his character and my knowledge of his track record.
That's right.
Right? So my trust in God ought to be established based upon my knowledge of his character and my knowledge of his track record. And so we'll learn this morning more about that. But if I'm established with a great relationship with the Father and I know in whom I have believed, then that's going to be able to keep me while I'm waiting. That's going to be able to keep me, so I'll be able to keep the faith switch in the on position when the devil comes and says, that ain't going to happen. You know, that ain't never going to happen. You know that ain't going to happen. That was you. That wasn't God. Turn that thing off. It's not going to. How long has it been? You know, is it really going to happen? All this kind of stuff. No, I know in whom I have believed. And since my faith is in God, I'm not going to waver. Say amen to that. So our faith has to be in God. Our faith can't be about us. It can't be about our power. It can't be about our ability. This is what separates us from motivational speaking. We're not talking about the power of you. We're talking about the power of him. We're not talking about the power of all the things that you can do. This is not mind over matter. This is God over matter. Amen? So this is about what he can do in, with, and through your life. And then faith, we learned last night, is not about you trying to make God do something that you want him to do. It's about finding out what he wants to do in your life and then synchronizing, lining up, submitting with that. So when you synchronize with what God wants to do in your life and you agree, right? So you release your faith, you agree, you get yourself in agreement with God. That's what faith is all about. Say amen to that. Amen. All right. So our two foundational scriptures, let's go to Mark chapter 11 and 2 Timothy chapter 1. Mark chapter 11, 2 Timothy chapter 1. And then we're going to get into this lesson this morning. Mark chapter 11, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Mark chapter 11 is a very familiar passage. We've dealt with that many, many times, really beginning at verse 23, but we're just going to focus on verse 22, Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. The Bible says, "And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God." Your faith has to be rooted and grounded in God. Your faith is about him. It's not about you. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, Paul was writing to his son Timothy, and this is what he said. "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able," not me, I'm not able, "but he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." All the things, all these cares that I used to carry, and now I'm not a care carrier, I'm a care caster. So I took all those cares and I casted them over to him because he said, "Cast your cares over to me, for I care for you." So now I can give him those cares, and everything that I've casted over to him, I just believe, based upon my relationship with him, that I can trust him to handle it. I believe that he is able to handle that which I've committed unto him until it comes to pass. And I don't know when. I may not know how, but I know who. And since I know in whom I have believed, and since my faith is established with my relationship with the Father, then I shall not be moved. The Bible says, "They that trust in the Lord," is all about trust. So I have this faith factor, but I also have the trust factor. I'm trusting God even when I don't know how. I'm trusting God even when I don't know when. I'm trusting God, right? So the Bible says, "They that trust in the Lord shall be like Mount Zion." And one thing I know about Mount Zion is that it ain't going nowhere. Say, "I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved." So when I stand in faith, I flip my face switch in the on position, and now I'm like Mount Zion, and I shall not be moved. Why? Because I'm trusting in God. It's a trust issue. Even when my faith wavers, God doesn't waver. Even when I'm unfaithful, he's faithful. So now I have the trust in my relationship with him. That's why Isaiah said that thou, God, will keep us in perfect peace. That in the Hebrew is peace. He'll keep us in this double peace, in perfect peace, supernatural peace. Why? Because if your mind is stayed on him, why, Isaiah? Because he trusts in him. If I trust God, then my mind will be fixed on him, not on me, on his ability, not mine, on his power, not mine. And since my trust is in him, my confidence is in him, not in me, then I can be at perfect peace. Because when the enemy comes and says, "You're not worthy," I say, "I know.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? When the enemy says, you done messed up, I'm like, well, tell me something new. You know, it's not about me. And so now there's nothing you can tell me, because you can't tell me God is not worthy. You can't tell me God is not faithful. And because he can never change, my faith can't change. If I establish my faith in him, then it's unwaverable. If I establish my faith in me, then I know I'm going to waver. So since my faith is in him and it's about him and not in me, and I have faith in God, then I know that he's going to do it. Why? Because he said it. Because he brought it up. Because it's not my idea. Because I was minding my business. You know what I'm saying? When he came, I'm sure the Lord came one day and spoke to Dad and said, this is your land. And when we walked by and we looked at all these trees and we walked around these trees and got mosquito bites and all that stuff, we came out here on Saturday morning with some doggone bagels and cream cheese and went to have men's Saturday morning breakfast, men's breakfast over here on the land, and got tore up. We made the mistake of wearing some shorts, you know what I'm saying? And we got, we left here all tore up. Well, but the Lord said, this is your land. Now, he was minding his business, you know what I'm saying? Now, if the Lord says this is your land, then who has to provide the provision? It wasn't his idea. My boss comes to me and says, hey, Chief, I need you to handle this. This is a project. I want you to take care of this project. And for this project, we need it done in this much time, and your budget is $4 million. Okay, good. I don't have to come up with the $4 million because it wasn't my idea. Right? You give me the plan. You give me the project. You give me the funding.
That's right.
So God, if it's his will, it's his bill. I'm not going to lose sleep talking about where the money going to come from. Hey, it wasn't my idea. I was minding my business. You come give me the plan, so now you got to fund it. So you tell me what to do, then you got to deal with everything else. Since it's his will, then now it's on him, not on me. So now I put the faith pressure back on him, not on me. I have faith in God. And I told you last night, it's not about having faith in your faith, because your faith will fail. It's not about having, watch this, and I kind of, you know, some people, for those of you that weren't here, just let me let you know. Mm-hmm. It's not about having faith in the word of God. Did I just say that? Yes, I did. Because it's more about having faith in the God of the word. Because if you have faith in the God of the word, then maybe even when you didn't understand that word from God, he'll still be faithful. Watch this. When you have faith in the God of the word, even when your faith is not there, sometimes he just gives it to you by grace. Sometimes, I mean, I've been teaching on grace on today's word. Those of you that follow today's word, I'm going scripture after scripture, miracle after miracle. I used to teach miracles, the miracles of Jesus through the lens of faith. So I used to look through the lens of faith and I would find faith in all this stuff. Now I'm looking through the lens of grace and I'm surprised that there's grace all over the miracles. Jesus would walk up, somebody didn't exhibit no faith, didn't call on God, didn't look unto him, was minding their own business. That woman who was bent over for 18 years, she was in church, minding her own business. Nobody said nothing. She didn't go to Jesus. None of that stuff. And Jesus just walks up to her and says, woman, thou art loose. That wasn't faith. That was grace. That was what God wanted to do in our life. And I can't count the times that God just blessed me by his grace. Grace is giving you what you don't deserve.
That's right.
So watch this. Mercy is God not giving me what I do. I don't know how many times God, by his mercy, has just kept things back from me. I know I messed up. I know I sowed bad seed. Oh, Lord, please forgive me. I pray, Father, I cancel that harvest on the bad seed that I sown. I pray, Father, don't bring it up. Don't bring it up. And here we are. We take apples and then we sow them in the ground and then we water it and then we don't want an apple tree. And so, Lord, how many times I done messed up? I know I messed up. I know I sowed bad seed. I know I even watered it. And I said, Lord, please forgive me by your mercy. Just kill the tree. Just kill the tree. Now, grace is great. It's amazing. Mercy is great. But God didn't call us to live by grace. And God didn't call us to live by mercy. God didn't even call us to live by love. Now, we're supposed to do everything in love. But God called us to live by faith. So at the end of the day, we got to understand faith, because faith is what we've been called to walk by, live by, pray by, overcome the world by. And whatever's not of faith is sin. Amen? But even then, our faith can't be in us. Our faith has to be rooted and grounded in him. Say, have faith in God.
Amen.
So last night we dealt with the belief factor. We dealt with the faith factor, the grace factor. We dealt with the God factor. At the end of the day, our faith has to be rooted and grounded in the God factor. So, yes, you will never get to the faith stage until you get past the belief stage. So you got to be able to believe it, right? If you don't believe it, if you can't see it, you'll never be it. So you got to get past that stage. Faith says it's possible. Belief says it's possible. Faith says it's actual. So belief opens the door, faith walks through it. So you got to have belief, you got to have faith, but then even once you walk through the door and your faith switches in the on position, even then, you don't know when, you don't know how long it's going to be unless he tells you. You don't know how, you don't know how it's going to come unless he tells you. So at the end of the day, you just got to keep believing God, keep your faith switch in the on position, and we'll see tonight that you just can't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season, there's a season where your harvest is due, right? There is a season when your harvest is due, and you shall reap it if you faint not, all right? So we'll deal with that tonight. So today, I told you a couple of things. I want to get to Philippians 1 and 6, but before we do that, let's go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. I mean, we're not going to have faith conference without dealing with Hebrews 11 and 1. So let's at least go to Hebrews 11 and 1. One time. So this is a faith conference. We want to get the word down in your heart. We want to get the word through your eye gates. Go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. I'm going to read it from the New International Version. The New International Version says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. King James says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, is the evidence of things not seen. Faith adds substance to our hope. You will never get to faith if you don't have hope. So you got to have hope, but faith adds substance to our hope because faith gives us something to stand on, right? Faith gives us a promise. But here in the NIV, it says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. Faith is about being sure and about being certain. Faith is about being sure and faith is about being certain, right? Brother Pina, give me another way to understand it. Well, faith is a confident assurance that God will do what he said, right? Simply put, so when I have the four people up here last night and I see that I perceive that God has given me something by grace and he took the thing and he already put it in the grace category, so now it's mine by grace, then faith perceives that it's already done. So faith can see it, first of all, in the spirit realm, and then faith has received it in the spirit realm, and faith has this confident assurance that is going to come to pass. It's just a matter of time before I see in my hands what I've already received in my heart.
That's right.
So now I've received it in my heart. Now, as on the inside is already done, I just haven't seen it yet on the outside. But on the inside is already done. I just haven't seen it manifest yet on the outside. But there's something about me having received it on the inside that the Bible says, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 18, that the things which are not seen, they're eternal. The things which you see, they're carnal, they're temporal, they're subject to change. So what I see on the inside, it's already done. Now, it hasn't happened yet on the outside, right? Now, I can't be moved by what's on the outside because what's on the outside is subject to change. Bishop said this morning, what's on the inside is not. Once God gives you something, it's established, he never changes. God is immutable. He doesn't change. So when God puts that thing over in the grace category, it's yours. It never changes until you pick it up, until you receive it, right? It's yours. Now, that never changes. Now, what you see on the outside changes all the time. That's subject to change. What you can't do is allow what you see on the outside to change what you believe on the inside. Because once you believe it on the inside, watch this. It's probably going to get worse on the outside before it gets better. And what happens is that you come in here, you get a word from the man of God, the woman of God, you get a word, you receive it in your heart, you high five your neighbor, you do 3 backflips, and it's yours. You know what I'm saying? Do, 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 do. You start running around the church, and you get excited about it, but that was Sunday, right? Now you receive it in your heart. On Monday morning, you get on the phone, and if you're Gail Wells, you tell everybody in the office. what the Lord said on Sunday. And so you receive it. Now you're taking God public.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So you're not ashamed of what God is going to do. And you're not ashamed. You crossed the faith line. You said it before he did it.
Yes.
I'm not going to wait till I see it to say. I'm going to say it now. I'm going to tell everybody it's done now. The problem is, as soon as you take a stand like that, the devil's not going to sit back. So now things on the outside get worse before they get better. What you can't do is allow yourself to change the image on the inside because the image on the outside changed. So outside, that's subject to change. Say, I will not allow
what I see
to change what I say. Because my faith is in God. So since my faith is in him, I know he can't change. He will not change. He is immutable. That thing is mine already. He won't change. Now, what I have to do is keep my faith switch in the on position until it manifests itself. As a matter of fact, what I really need to do is move that thing over into the past tense category. Right? So I need to take it from the present tense to past tense. Because once I say it's already done, it should be past tense. It just hasn't manifested itself yet. So now you start walking around and talking about it like it's already done, right? That's why I used to tell people, yeah, I got four kids, but only three are here. The fourth one just hasn't manifested herself yet. Her name is Faith. And I'm sure some people said, cuckoo, cuckoo, right? Because the natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. They're spiritually discerned. Neither can he know them. But Isabella reminded me last night that while she was in Texas, I was teaching at my church in Virginia. And I mentioned the fact that I had repented and that the Lord told me that we needed to go ahead and make faith. And I said, well, and I did this, you know, and she saw the video. She said, man, you done told everybody. Well, I done got out there, right? And I told everybody, when my wife gets back, we're going to go ahead and make faith. And faith is here, right? So now she's 6 weeks pregnant. Why? But I wasn't afraid to take God public and then to keep my faith switch in the on position, even though it hadn't happened yet. And then we got to walk around and act like it's already done. It's already done. You know why? Because it is.
That's right.
Because the thing that's on the inside is more real than what's on the outside. So faith perceives as real what you cannot verify with your senses. It's not about sense realm evidence. Because I can see this. This is a chair. I don't need faith for that. You know, I don't need revelation for that. I don't need a prophetic word to know that this is a chair. I can see that. I can verify that this is a chair with my senses. I can see it. I can touch it. I can smell it. I don't want to smell it, but I can smell it. So I can verify that that's a chair with my senses. Well, guess what? Faith perceives something to be real with no sense realm evidence. So I have zero sense realm evidence, and I'm saying it's already done. That's how we're supposed to live. We're supposed to live by faith, not by what we see, not by our senses. Faith is an expression of our confidence in God and in his word, in the God of the word. So I'm expressing my confidence in God. So when I write a check and I'm tithing or I give an offering, that's an expression of my faith. Since I believe that if I give, it shall be given unto me, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Since I believe that if I'm a tither, since I tithe, then I have a blood-bought covenant right to walk up under an open heaven, that God will rebuke the devourer for my sake, that I don't have fear in running out, I have faith in running over. So when I write a check, that's an expression of my confidence in God. And I believe that when I write out the check to FOCLC, I'm not giving it to the church, I'm giving it to God. And when I put it in that little bucket, it's not really going in the bucket. It's going back to the room and they're going to count it, but I'm really giving it to God. And I believe that I'm giving it to a God that I cannot see, and that this God that I cannot see will show up in my life in a way that I can see because I gave this thing. That's what I believe, right? That's faith. And I can't verify that with sense realm evidence. I can't really explain that. I don't want to have this conversation with a financial planner. But I just got to believe. That's how I live. I live on the inside. There's an inner reality because I'm in this world, but not of this world. I have a dual citizenship. So I'm kind of walking in this realm, but I'm living in another realm. And whenever I need something from the supernatural realm, I can cross over by faith, grab it in the supernatural, and bring it into the natural. So that's how I operate. So now I'm living in the supernatural. So I'm in the world, but not of the world. And now that I'm born again, the supernatural is supposed to be natural for me. So before I was born again, the natural was natural and the supernatural was cuckoo. But now that I'm born again, the supernatural is supposed to be natural for me. So it's not that I have two natures. If you have two natures, you're a freak. I have a new nature. My new nature's in Christ and I'm supposed to be supernatural. It, whatever area of your life that you're not lining up with the word, that you're not seeing it in the supernatural, that doesn't mean that's natural and then you got super. No, supernatural is supposed to be natural. So whatever area of my life that I'm not lining up with the word, in that area I am carnal. I'm carnal. In that area I haven't lined up with the word. So what I need to do is crucify the flesh, line up with the word, repent, change the way I think, line up with the word of God, and then flow in the supernatural. Say amen to that. And I do all of this by faith because I can't verify it with my senses. And so that's why I don't really want to have this kind of conversation with people that are not spiritual. Because I can't have this kind of conversation with people that are not born again because they don't understand the things of the Spirit of God.
Right.
It's foolishness to them what we do. But for us, it's natural. So the natural, the supernatural should be natural to us. Amen?
Amen?
Now, faith is about being sure. Faith is about being certain. Here's the deal, though. I don't care who you are. There comes a point in all of our lives where we all feel the pressure to give up being sure and being certain. Now, it depends on who you are and how long it's going to be and how much you've grown your faith and how much, you know, your faith muscles have developed. But every one of us feels the pressure to give up on something. And so, yeah, you're sure and you're certain. But how long can you remain sure and certain? And so here it is. At some point, you're going to feel the pressure to give up. And remember, the enemy's not going to sit back. He's going to put more pressure on you. Remember the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They said, listen, Mr. King, Nebuchadnezzar, in the South, you know, I am in the South, so I'm going to say it like we say it in the South. In the South, they said, listen, Mr. King, we ain't studying you. You know what I'm saying? So I know you're the king and everything, but we ain't going to bow. And say, well, hold on. Hey, boys, I like you guys, man. So let me give you one more chance. You can give us a second chance, third chance, fourth chance, fifth, and we ain't going to bow. It don't matter how many chances you give us, we're not going to bow because the God that we serve, he is able. Watch this. Even if he don't do it. Now, we believe he's faithful. We know he is. But even if he don't, we still ain't going to bow. Right? And so what does he do? He says, turn up the fire 7 times hotter. Right? Now, fire, all fire needs to be to burn you is just fire, right? Level 1 fire will kill you. What you need to go to level 7 for? Well, I mean, what is level 7 fire going to do? Fire is going to kill you, you know? So, but the enemy will crank up the heat on you trying to get you to change your confession, trying to get you to change what you say. So the enemy says, oh, you said that? Let me crank up the heat on you. But you got to have faith in God. Their faith was not in them. Their faith was in God. Could they deliver themselves out of the fire? No. But God could. So what happened? God stepped right into the fire with them. He became the fourth man in the fire. And God will step right into your fire as well. Say amen to that. Amen. Somebody just caught that right there. All right. So let's be practical, right? So how is your faith developed? Your faith developed. Now let's just be natural. In the natural, right? So your faith is developed. First of all, you got to establish a relationship, right? So you and I meet. Okay, we start to kind of learn each other. Now, if you're a man, right? If this was men to men, if it was a brother, I say, hey, how you doing? What's your name? Hey, what's your name? First thing we say is, what do you do? Right? So. You got a card? I got a card. Here's my card. What do you do? Because we identify with our job, you know. Two women get together. Hey, girl, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? This is my name. First thing they say, are you married? You got kids? You got pictures? You know, so they identify. But first thing we do, we establish a relationship. Then we get to know each other, right? Now that we establish a relationship, we start to grow. I start to learn you. You start to learn me. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to learn and discern your character. Right? And then over the process of time, you tell me stuff and then either you do it or you don't. I tell you stuff and either I come through or I don't. And now we establish a track record. Right? And so what Now, at the end of the day, when I tell you something, you can have faith in what I said, and I can have faith in what you said, but my faith in what you said is going to be contingent upon my knowledge of your character, and because I've been keeping track, I've been keeping notes of your track record. But when it comes to God, we serve a God who has a flawless, he has flawless character and an impeccable track record. So if our faith is in him, if we develop a relationship with him, and then our trust is in him, and we believe that he's the one that's going to do it, that he started the work, that it's about him. It is he that have made us and not we ourselves. And since it's about him, then we can be confident. Because he didn't give us the promise based upon us. He gave us the promise based upon him. And since God doesn't have to wait till Tuesday night to figure out who's going to be the president of this next term. Right? Since God doesn't have to wait till Tuesday to find out what's going to happen Tuesday, then that means that God already knew what I was going to do before he did it. God already knew I was going to mess up before I messed up. So that means that I can't disqualify myself from what he has qualified me for. So that means that I don't need to wallow in condemnation because he already qualified me. That means that I'm saved not because of what I do, but because of what Jesus did. I'm righteous not because of what I do, but because of what Jesus did. So I put on his righteousness because he put on my sin. So now my confidence is established in the fact that he already knew me. I can't disqualify myself from what he qualified me for. And since God's giftings and callings are without repentance, he said, this is yours. It shall come to pass. I don't look like it. I may not feel like it. I don't feel like I qualify. And then God says, I like it when that thing happens like that. Because then the glory is about him and not about us. Say amen to that.
Amen.
So it's about him. Say, I have faith in God.
I have faith in God.
Our faith has to be rooted and grounded in him. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. I told you last night that we were going to go to Philippians 1 and 6. Philippians chapter 1. And sis, could you read verse 6 from the Amplified, please? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 from the Amplified. What does that say? This is Paul speaking. Uh-huh.
Am I convinced and sure of this very thing? That he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ.
So Paul is writing to the church of Philippi, and he's saying, listen, you know one thing I'm confident of? Now, I'm not confident in y'all, because I know y'all will mess up. But I'm confident in God. I'm confident of the God in you, and I'm confident, I am convinced of this one thing, that he, God, who hath begun a good work in you, keep reading.
Right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting and bringing it to the full completion in you.
Now, who is Paul putting the emphasis on? On God. So he says this, I'm convinced and sure of this very thing that God, who began the work? God did. Who gave you the vision? God did. Who gave you the purpose? God did. Who gave you the idea? God did. Who started you down that road? God did. Who is this about? God. It's not about you. Get over it. So God gives you this idea. So God gives you this thing. He began the good work in you. And I'm confident, he says, that he's going to be able to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, up until the time that he returns. Watch this. And the whole time, he's going to do the developing. He's developing that good work. He's going to do the perfecting. And he's going to bring the completion to you. It's not about you. My confidence is in God. It's so you have kids. Watch this, parents. I'm about to help you out. Your confidence has to be in God. Those kids, those are not your kids. They came into the world. You had stewardship over them. You had a responsibility to parent them, put the word in them. You pour the word down inside of them. At the end of the day, God birthed them for a reason. They have a purpose. So you got to trust the God that's in them. You got to look to God even when them jokers acting crazy. Your confidence has to be in God. And you, that sometimes they say something, you look at them and, where in the world? Lord have mercy. I know Jesus. Hey, glory. But your confidence has to be in God. You're like, I know you didn't come out this house. Boy. But your confidence has to be in God. Your confidence can't be in them. Your confidence has to be in the God in them. So you give that over to God. You roll that care over to God. He said, listen, I'm confident that the same God who started that thing in you, he's going to do it. I'm confident that he started it, so he's going to perfect the work. He's going to bring it to pass. Why? Because if he wasn't going to finish it, he wouldn't have started it. Here we are trying to teach you how to develop the spirit of a finisher. Well, guess what? God is a finisher. God is not going to start something in your life he's not going to finish. So my trust and confidence is in him. Say, I have faith in God.
I have faith in God.
My faith has to be in him, not in my kids, not in my wife, not in me, because I even mess up on me. But my confidence is in God. Say amen to that. Let's go over to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. I want to look at that from the Amplified as well. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Glory to God. My confidence has to be in God. I have to look unto him. I'm forgetting about everything else, and my confidence is in him. Even when I fail myself, he's still faithful. Yes. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Could you read that from the Amplified, please?
Let your character
be free from the love of money. Uh-huh. So the writer of Hebrews is saying, listen, as you as believers, this is what you should do. You should be righteous. You should be lining up with the word of God. You should develop godly character. You should be free of lust and avarice and the love of money. This is what you should do. He's telling them, now, right now I'm talking about you, but in a minute he's about to shift the focus to God. All right, keep reading.
And be satisfied with your present circumstances.
So once again, he's still talking about you. Be satisfied with where you are right now. Don't be worrying about it. Don't be complaining. Don't murmur. Just be satisfied. Be at peace with God. Know that God he'll be able to keep you. The economy changes, but God's economy don't change. So your source is God. You just keep looking unto him, right? That's your part. Keep reading.
And with what you have, for he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you,
He says, I will not in any way, not in any degree, not even a little bit. I won't even slip. I mean, there's not one time where I slip. You know how sometimes even the best of us slip. Even Michael Jordan had a bad night. God says, I will not in any degree fail you. I won't even slip, not even a little bit. I won't leave you without support. Watch this. Keep reading. Three times he said, I will not, I will not, I will not. I want you to get this thing in your spirit. I am faithful. We declare God's faithfulness. God is faithful. My faith is in God. God says, I will not, I will not, I will not. There's nothing, I will not slip on you. I will not fail you. There's not one day I'm ever going to look the other way. You ever had a kid, a baby walking and you look the other way and all of a sudden, bam, they fall? God says, there's not one second that I'll ever look the other way. My sister the other day had her little daughter, and she had her up on the changing table, and she said that she opened up the first drawer to get some out of it, turned around, when she came back, the baby was in the drawer. She turned around for a second, the baby rolled around. Why? Because she slipped. God says, I will not slip. There's not one second. There's not one moment. There's never a moment in your life where I am not taking care of you. And nothing that happens to you is news to me. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? Let me let that sink in. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing occurs to God? He knows all things. He declares the end from the beginning. He says, I will not, I will not, I will not. Keep reading.
I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. Relax my hold on you. Assuredly not.
Assuredly not. There's not one day, not one second, not one moment that I will relax the grip that I have on you. The same writer says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence, for it has a great recompense of reward. He's saying, when I'm writing to the people down here, I got to tell you, don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your faith, because I know that you will. Because I'm telling you, don't do it. Don't relax the grip that you have on your faith, because as humans, we relax the grip. But that same writer says, God never relaxes the grip. Not one time. He says, I will not fail you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you without support. There's never a moment in your life that you are helpless, because you cannot be hopeless, because with God, you're not helpless. He's always with you. He's with me 24/7, 365. He that watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He doesn't sleep so I can sleep like a baby. In Mark 4, Jesus slept through a storm. The other night I slept through a storm in Virginia, and I slept well. Why? Because my confidence was in him. They said, Sandy's coming. I said, yeah, but I know Jesus. The news said, well, this was going to happen in Woodbridge. I said, yeah, but not on 12253 Tazewell Mill Court. Not going to happen here. Why? Because my trust and confidence is in him. You got to have faith in him. It's not about you. It's all about him. I'm trying to get you to take your faith, the focus of your faith, off of you and put it on him. Wives, don't put your confidence. Now, don't get me wrong. You should have confidence in your husband. But your ultimate confidence can't be in him. Got to be in God. You would put undue pressure on your husband to do something that he's not ordained to do. What, husbands, you can't do the same thing with your wives. You got to have trust in God. Your confidence, your faith has to be in him. Say amen to that. Amen. We're right there in Hebrews chapter 13. Drop down to verse 7. So trust in the God in your leader, right? Verse 7 in the Amplified. Would you read that, please? Now, watch this. Listen, members of Faith Outreach, remember Bishop Peoples. Remember Dr. Janice Peoples. The writer of Hebrews is saying, remember your leaders, those who are in authority. Why? Because it's them who brought you the word of God, right? Keep reading. So he's saying, observe attentively and consider. You ought to be examining the way that they live. They are role models. So you examine the way that they live. You're watching, you're examining what God is doing in their lives. Keep reading. So you see how God is blessing them. You see how what they're teaching, they're not teaching something that they don't live. So they're living what they teach, right? So they're teaching out of what they live. Keep reading. Now you got to imitate their faith. Now watch this. Dad, who's your faith in? God, who's your faith in? His faith is in God. Mom, your faith is in God. So you got to imitate their faith. So you don't put undue pressure on them. So now you don't, you imitate their faith. You imitate the faith they use to get what they got. Now, you can't do that if they're not willing to tell you. But now you have leaders who's willing to expose themselves, to be naked, open, and not ashamed, and to tell you what they did to get what they got. And as they expose that, now you can imitate their faith, and you put pressure on the same God they put pressure on. You don't put pressure on them, you put pressure on God. Say amen to that. So you got to follow the God of Bishop Peoples, the God of Dr. Janice, not them. You're following them, but you're following the God in them. Say amen to that. Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. It's not about me. It's about Christ. So if you want to follow me, you got to follow the Christ in me. Because at the end of the day, it's not about me. It's all about him. Say amen to that. Amen. In the mouths of two or three witnesses, let every thought be established. Let me give you another example. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Because the same thing, just like you need to follow the God of Bishop Peoples, the God of Dr. Janice, God tells Joshua, it's the same thing with him. He needed to follow the God of Moses. Yes. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5. Could you read verse 5 for me?
There shall not any be able to stand before
Now there came a time here in Joshua chapter 1 in the beginning, in verse 1, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now listen, you got to discern the time. He served Moses for 40 years. He served Moses faithfully, but there came a time when Moses was gone, and so there was a shifting now. So he says to him, now listen, now the emphasis is on you. Now let me tell you, now Moses is not here. So if your confidence was in Moses, you all messed up. Moses is not here. So if your faith was in Moses, now you're going to be crying, boo-hoo crying. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? Oh, Jesus, what are you? No, your confidence can't be in man. Your confidence has to be in God. So Moses is dead, but God is not. All right, so what did God say to Joshua?
To stand before thee all the days of thy life.
Uh-huh. Now, who's God is speaking, and who is the emphasis on? Him. Watch this. He says, I, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Who's not going to do the failing? Me. Joshua, you going to fail? Yeah, you're going to mess up. But I'm not going to mess up. So as I was with Moses, so shall I be with you. Moses is dead. Don't have confidence in Moses. Have confidence in the God of Moses. Well, guess what? Bishop Peoples, Dr. Janice, they're still alive and they're going to live long. But still, you shouldn't have confidence in them. Your confidence should be in the God of them. The God that they worship. The same God that blessed them will bless me. Say amen to that. So the confidence has to be in God. Say, I have faith in God. Let me give you another witness. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. I want to give you another witness here as it relates to this. In 2 Kings, the second chapter and the 14th verse. What does it say there? Now this is, here we had Joshua. He served Moses for 40 years. Now we have Elisha and Elijah. And some scholars believe that Elisha followed Elijah for 20 years. And so he says, okay, Elijah's gone now. So Elijah takes that chariot and he rides on up into heaven and Elijah's gone. And so he has said, listen, what do you want from me? Why are you following me? What is it that you want? I want a double portion of your anointing. He says, well, if you're there when I leave, if you're able to see me go, then you'll be able to have it. And so Elijah takes the chariot, he takes that taxi and he goes on home. And so now that he's gone, guess what happens? Read that verse again.
And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him.
So while he was riding the taxi, the mantle fell.
Yes.
His mantle fell. Before it fell, they got to the Jordan River, and the man of God, Elijah, he was with his armor bearer, Elisha. He takes his mantle off and he slaps the river, bam. And when he slapped the river opened up and they walked across on dry ground, and then the taxi came down and he rode the chariot onto heaven. And so now the mantle falls from the chariot. He picks up the chariot, and what happens? Read. Elijah ain't here. I've been following Elijah for 20 years. Elijah's not here. My trust can't be in Elijah anymore. My confidence can't be in Elijah anymore. He takes the same mantle. He walks over to the Jordan River, and the same thing that his man of God did, he was going to do. He grabs the mantle and slaps the water. He never performed the miracle to this point, but now the time was his. And he slaps the thing and says, where is the God of Elijah? Elijah's not here, but God is here. Where's the God of Elijah? My faith has to be in God. My confidence has to be in God. Have faith in God. He says, where is the God of Elijah? And when he slapped the thing, the river opened up and he walked across on dry ground. Where his dad, where his spiritual father left off, that's where he began. And so he takes off. Why? Because he trusted in the God of Elijah. It wasn't about Elijah. It was about the God that was working through Elijah. The miracles wasn't about Elijah. The miracles were about God. Have faith in God. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. I already showed you yesterday several places in Scripture where Jesus said, I only do those things that I see my Father do. I only say those things that I hear my Father say. Jesus was walking. Jesus was God incarnate, and he only did what the Father wanted him to do because he was synchronized with the Father. Why? So that the glory would be of the Father. All right, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. Would you read that from the New Living? You got to have the same attitude that Jesus had. What was that attitude? That attitude that is not about me is all about him. That it's not, I'm only going to say what I hear the Father say. I'm only going to do what I see the Father do, that he was synchronized with the Father, that he received instructions from God on a daily basis. He received instructions from the Father. If he was God in the flesh, why didn't he need to pray? So he could receive downloads from another world. And he said, whatever you want, that's what I'm going to do. It's not about me. And the Son can do nothing of himself. He only does what he sees the Father do. And so he's synchronized with the Father. This is the attitude that Paul says you're supposed to have. That same type of attitude. And with that kind of attitude, when something is presented before you that man can't handle, something is presented before you that the world can't deal with, he says, no problem, because it's not about me anyway. I can reach into the supernatural and bring it into the natural because it's about God. It's about what he wants to accomplish. It's about what he wants to do in, with, and through your life. Now that we're there in Philippians chapter 2, drop down to verse 13. What does verse 13 say? Read that from the New Living.
But God is working in you.
Who's working in you?
God
is working in you. Uh-huh.
Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him.
God is working in you to do what? To give you the desire and the power. Last night, we dealt with the purpose and the grace. Uh-huh. Same thing. The desire and the power. Uh-huh. Whatever he expects you to do, he equips you to do. Whatever he equips you to do, he expects you to do. If he tells you, it would be unrighteous of a father, it would be unrighteous of a mother to expect their children to do something that they're not prepared to do. But if they're prepared to do it, then you expect them to do it, because you know that you've given them the preparation. You know that you've set them up for such a time as this, and then you release them out there and you stand back and you say, man, look at my son, look at my daughter. So God sends you out there. He sets you up with divine appointments. And when something comes up and you're standing before something and you're facing something and it looks so big, instead of saying, oh, woe is me, you should be saying, yes, glory to God. Because if it's true that God will not allow you to be tempted or tested beyond that which you are able, right? If that's true, and it is, then if you're facing it, then you got the grace for it.
That's right.
If you're facing it, then God trusts you with it. No matter what you're facing right now, if it seems big, say, God, trust me with it. If he didn't trust you with it, you wouldn't be facing it. But if you're facing, now watch this, here's the good news. The good news is there was a time in your life where you couldn't deal with that. There was a time in your life where you couldn't handle that. There was a time in your life where your faith muscles weren't developed enough. So now when you face something like that, instead of saying, woe is me, you say, man, look what I can handle now. What? God has blessed me to get to this point. Look what he trusts me with now. Look what he trusts me with now. Look at, so when it stands before you, you know it's not about you anyway. It's not about you anyway. God, however you want to do it, I'm ready. I'm willing. I believe you. My faith, which is in the on position. Now, the how, I don't know how. I don't need to know how. I'm just trusting you. The what, hey, however you want to do it. The when, hey, but I'm going to keep my faith, which in the on position, because I'm trusting in God. I'm believing in God. My faith and my confidence is in him. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, so let's go to the last verse, and this is where I'm going to kick off tonight. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. We're going to end here, and then we're going to start here tonight. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9.
So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we
can
reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up.
It says, listen, don't get tired. That's from the NIV. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, that was from the NIV. Don't get tired, Gail, of doing what you know is good, of doing what you know is right. Paul says, at just the right time, you should reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. If you don't allow your faith switch to fall into the off position. If you don't relax the grip that you have on your faith. If you don't cast away your confidence. But your confidence has to be in him. So here's the problem, though. Abraham waited 25 years for Isaac. David waited 13 years for the throne. Joseph waited over 20 years for his dream to come to pass. Joshua and Caleb waited 40 years to enter into the promised land. And then Caleb waited 45 years for his mountain. And after 2 weeks, we say, well, Dad, I guess it just wasn't God's will. Or we just forget about it. That means your confidence was in you. Your confidence wasn't in God. You got to keep your expectation up. When your confidence is in God and you keep your faith switch in the on position, you know it can happen at any moment. Yeah. Remember, you don't know when. You don't know how. You kind of think you know what, but it can happen at any moment. So you enter every day. It's amazing. It's exciting to live by faith. You know, you go to an appointment or you go. I travel a lot and I get up and I pray over the flights and everything. And I declare that the planes, if it's more than one plane, will go up where it's supposed to go up, come down where it's supposed to come down, when it's supposed to do it, that everybody on the plane is blessed because I'm on the board. And I say, Lord, you sit me. Now, this is what I tell God. I say, God, you know my preference, right? My preference is either first class or exit row window seat. And I would like to take a nap. But my life is not my own. So if you want me to sit somewhere else, or if you want me to do anything else, I'm cool with that. So I just go do, and whatever he does. If I say, Lord, if you have a divine appointment for me, I'm cool with that. I'm straight with that. But if not, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to sleep. And so it's living by faith. Whatever he wants. Your life is not your own. It's about whatever he wants to do. But the confidence has to be in him. So if the divine appointment comes and he does set me up with somebody and we get into this conversation, I know that since it was ordained of God, then the words will flow. Amen. Since he set up the divine appointment, then I can handle it. I'm graced for it. It could be a conversation with somebody that their education exceeds my education. Doesn't matter. I'm graced for it. It could be I have a conversation with somebody on a topic I've never talked about before in my life. Doesn't matter. My faith is in God. If my faith is in God, the provision will flow. Yes. I've been places where even at job, at work, they say, hey, we need you to go down to this office or deal with the vice chief of staff of the army, or my boss is a 3-star general. You go here or there and you're going to be placed in a situation and it's something I've never dealt with before. And before I go in there, I just remind God that he put me there. Just so you know, you gave me this job. You know what I'm saying? I was good where I was at. You know, you gave me this job. So I'm just letting you know. I'm just reminding you. And then I go in there, revelation comes. And I'm saying stuff I ain't never said before. I'm saying stuff I never heard before. Oh, that was good. Man, what did you say? I went to this meeting. I don't know how I got involved in this thing, but the Army was working on this thing on readiness. And readiness is a big word for the Army now and all this kind of thing. So we go, there's a strategic studies working group. And I go into this meeting, and they said, Chief, we need you to cover down. And I was like, I know you're not going to have to go to these meetings every day, but for today, would you please go? We need to have a rep. So I go, and so this room is full of a bunch of majors, lieutenant colonels, some colonels, and basically it was like a English grammar thing. I mean, you know, so they just wordsmithing some words, and they're going round and round for an hour and a half, and we got through like 3 sentences. And so I'm sitting there. First of all, I was irritated. Then I prayed about it. And then I said, okay, Lord, well, let me say something. And I'm a Dominican kid from Brooklyn. And I said, excuse me. What it sounds like to me, what you're really trying to say is this. Man, what? Say that again? And so they wrote it down. They put it up on the screen. Yeah, that was perfect. All right, I'm leaving. I contributed. I got up. I walked out. Now, they was like, and then they called, hey, who's that guy that came? Send him back. No, I ain't going back there. But where did that come from? Revelation. I'm not worried about it. Hey, God had me. God put me there. You know what I'm saying? I'm not worried about that. Isabella is a, why? Because when I walk into that meeting, the kingdom has come to that meeting. I got to trust that the king, because my faith and confidence is in God. Last thing I'll say is Isabella is a perioperative nurse, a surgical nurse. And people die in surgery. I mean, we know that, right? Not in her surgery, not in her rooms. Never lost a patient, never will. How can you say that? Because our trust is in God. My trust ain't in Isabella. I love you, babe, but my trust ain't in her. My trust is in God. So when people, she have surgeries, people say, all the other doctors and say, oh, man, I want to deal with Captain Pena. All the other techs say, man, Captain Pena, everybody loves Captain Pena. Her rooms are so blessed and everything going on. And she has ministered to so many people going into surgery. Why? Because when she goes to the robotic surgery department of Fort Belvoir Community Hospital, the kingdom has come.
Yes. That's right.
And so you got to trust that the same God that's on you, in you, with you, and for you is going to bless you everywhere you go.
Yes.
Have faith in God. Let's praise God. Let's stand all over the building and praise God.
Hallelujah.